It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. While the Greenfield Bridge closing has garnered a lot of attention, hundreds of bridges across the Commonwealth are in need of replacement. Many of them are located here in Allegheny County. In this segment, we're going to look at how a public-private partnership is working to replace those bridges. I'm joined now in studio by Dan Galvin. He is the Public Information Manager for Plenary Walsh Keystone Partners. Dan Galvin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Sure, thanks for having me in.
And you can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Dan Galvin, explain what this partnership is and how exactly it came together.
Well, this was something that PennDOT put out an RFP for, request for proposals, and four different teams bid on it. And the team Plenary Walsh Keystone Partners was the winning bidder. Plenary Walsh is a joint venture consortium of the Plenary Group and Walsh Investors, which are the parts bringing the money to the table. The joint venture of Walsh Construction and Granite Construction Company, two of the largest heavy civil contractors in the United States. HDR Engineering is our main designer, and Walsh Infrastructure Management handles the 25-year warranty period that each bridge has attached to it. They'll be the ones filling potholes, making the day-to-day repairs and things like that. So it's a large team of heavy civil contractors who do this type of work all over the country, but it's just all focused on 558 bridges over the next 3 years.
And explain how it works, because we've talked about this before on the program. And this, you know, in the East, infrastructure is in this part of the country in particular, it's some of the oldest infrastructure in the country. And it's presented some challenges over the years. We've known for some time that bridges and roads, bridges in particular, would be posing problems, that in many cases they would need to be replaced. And so the question was, how do you pay for that? This creates an opportunity for cash-strapped government entities to pay for improvements, if not replacements or new bridges, that they would not otherwise be able to afford.
Right. Well, here we're bringing some new money to the table, essentially. And the state of Pennsylvania is essentially buying a mortgage, if you will, on the next 25 years of these 558 bridges that we'll replace. So that helps the state free up its regular funds, you know, that it has through the gas tax and things like that, that they normally use to do projects. So, you know, we're bringing a large pile of money, $899 million to the table to get this work underway. And then the state reimburses us over the lifetime of the contract.
Is there an interest that goes along with that, or how does that work?
An interest?
Well, in other words, are you charging a fee?
We make a profit.
Right.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's what we're in business
sure.
to do. But
is that done on a percentage basis, or how does that – if they're paying you incrementally and mm-hmm. you're waiting, say, what would it be, 10 to 15 years to get your money?
Well, no, there's certain milestones that are set up mm-hmm. over the life of the project. You know, we have to maintain the quality of the bridges to a certain level before an additional payment is made. You know, as we get so many bridges under construction and so many bridges completed, there's payments made at that point. So it's all structured depending on certain milestones that we reach or maintain with the bridge quality.
Okay, so I guess what I'm asking is the payments spread out over what's the period of time that they're spread
25
out?
25 years.
Okay.
Over the life of the project, it's it comes to, I think, about $65 million a year averaged out. So, yes, the ultimate price tag is higher than the $899 million. But, you know, factoring finance costs and things like that, it comes to, I think, you know, a little over $1 billion.
Could this be a funding model for others, do you think?
Well, it's certainly this is the first one of its scale like this that we've been able to find. I don't believe another state has attempted it quite to this degree. The state of Missouri did a similar massive bridge reconstruction project a few years back, but they didn't have the financing end of it. They provided all the regular financing, but it was still a large number of bridges that they're replacing. So this is kind of unique, and it's really attracting a lot of attention from DOTs around the country. They're looking to see how it's working out, and I think you will probably see things like this happen more in the future. This is much more common in Europe. You do see public-private partnerships in Europe and Asia, places like that. For some reason, it hasn't really caught on in the United States yet, but we may see that changing just because the lack of available funds through normal sources.
So we've talked about the time period that that you're allowing for the state to repay you.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take to replace the bridge? I'm guessing a much shorter period of time.
Right. I'd say the average construction period that we have is about 10 weeks. That's the majority.
10 weeks.
Yeah, the majority of them will be replaced in about 10 weeks if all goes well. I mean, obviously, you know, once you get started on construction, things don't always go your way. But that's the time that we have factored in for the majority. There are a number of others that the smaller culvert projects that are 5 and in some cases even just 2 weeks. So some of the smaller ones we can knock out pretty quickly. But the average time span is, 10 weeks, a few going to 15.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Dan Galvin. He's Public Information Manager for Plenary Walsh Keystone Partners. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. Let's go to Jeremy from Ross Township. Hi, Jeremy. You're on the air with Dan Galvin.
Yes, I'm glad you all are covering this topic. One aspect I wanted to bring up was the importance of not only how quickly can you build the bridge, but how long can you make the bridge function. You know, a lot of times bridges can have 100, 150-year lifespan. And in Pennsylvania so far, I've worked in the industry for about 15 years, we do a really bad job doing bridge maintenance. So one of the reasons we have this problem is because we don't take care of our bridges. And I believe, and maybe the partnership person on the line with you can talk about how they're going to be helping improve the life of bridges, not just making them quickly.
Sure. We're actually building these to a 100-year lifespan. That's the amount of quality we're putting in at the front end, so that these things will have 100 years before they'll need to be replaced to a similar scale as what we're doing now. The majority of the bridges that we're replacing, you'll see most of them were built, I guess, around 1935, I think, was the average construction year for most of what we're replacing. So you can see it's, most of them went 50 years and then some, and they're pretty well shot. So we're going to be improving on that considerably. I think 50 years is generally about a pretty typical lifespan for construction like this. So we're going to be doubling that.
How old are some of these bridges that are being replaced, though? You mentioned the average, but there's some that go. You said the average is 1935?
Somewhere, yeah. The 1930s seem to have been the majority of them.
Some of them go back much, much farther.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the oldest one on the project is 1880. It's a bridge in Montgomery County that still looks to be in fairly good shape.
But, what's it made out of?
It's concrete. It's concrete.
But, 1880,
yeah.
And it's still in working use?
It's still in use. It's structurally deficient, though, but according to that definition, that it doesn't quite meet current day standards, and it may be signed for weight limits. And you look on the underneath too. That's where there's probably some cracks in there you don't see from up above. But 1880, it's still in use, on a daily basis. But that's one that we'll be replacing. And like I said, most of them, I think, were a lot of WPA projects probably in the 1930s and, into the 40s and that. But they've definitely outlived their useful lifespan.
And to Jeremy's question, how will they be maintained? What will you be doing on an incremental basis to, ensure that these bridges last for the 100-year target?
Well, one of the other unique aspects of this is that the final step of the construction process is to put a layer of a polyester concrete on top of the bridge deck that resists pothole formation, and that will keep maintenance costs down and just also keep the bridge usable for a much longer period of time. And we also don't get paid if these things start to deteriorate. This annual 25-year lifespan and the annual inspection process that we have to undergo, these bridges have to stay at a certain level of quality or the state withholds payment. So we have a financial interest in making sure that they definitely are in tip-top shape.
And what is the material that you're using that resist that is pothole resistant?
Yeah, it's like a polyester. I'm not a chemist, but I'm not sure how they do this. But it's a special blend of like a concrete. Yeah, they say it's, you know, concrete might not be the accurate description, but it's like a final layer of pavement that's a polyester based material that will add additional strength and additional longevity to the bridge deck surface. So, you know, it'll resist the pothole formation that you see in a part of the country like this where you have the freeze and thaw cycles that mm-hmm. are just so damaging to concrete.
See, I'm thinking the city of Pittsburgh might be interested in getting a hold of that and just using that on the streets around here. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm talking with Dan Galvin. He's Public Information Manager for Plenary Walsh Keystone Partners. And it's part of a unique public-private partnership working to replace bridges that can no longer wait to be repaired or replaced in Allegheny County. And in fact, hundreds of them throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that this public-private partnership is working to take care of. How many bridges have been replaced since the project began in June?
By the end of this month, we should have about 50 completed so far. You know, we're still going through a whole lot of permitting and things like that. Right-of-way is still going, well, not on these 50, but on the ones that we'll continue on to. So we'll have 50 completed by the end of 2015. Then in 2016, we've just released a list of the ones that we're about to put up for bid. It's about 264 that we'll have available for companies to bid on in 2016. So things really kick into high gear next year, and it'll be a similar number in 2017.
Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002 if you have a question or comment about this unique public-private partnership or the science of how these bridges are being replaced and made to last for the next 100 years. 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. I understand that in many cases, the bridges that are being replaced, that your company is involved in replacing, are not necessarily a priority on PennDOT's list. They're bridges that might have been put way down the priority list, but that may be able to be repaired sooner, or at least crews can get to them sooner than they might have otherwise.
Well, no, I wouldn't put it like that. I think it's probably more these are some of the worst of the worst. These were the bridges that were probably, you know, at the top of PennDOT's list for replacement, but they're able to bundle them in a package like this and get them all tackled a lot faster. So we really do accelerate the whole process. And, you know, there's also economies of scale and things like that in our costs for replacement. So, you know, these are the bridges that PennDOT thought needed to be replaced the fastest. So that's why they put them in this package to put them out for us.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. In some cases, it's my understanding that the bridges are important to the people and the businesses they serve, but mm-hmm. they're low on PennDOT's priority list in comparison to major thoroughfares. But the
okay, well, sure. You know, because of the traffic counts and things like that, that yes, if you've got a bridge that carries 100,000 vehicles a day, that's definitely going to be a higher priority than something that carries 150. You know, so I think the bridges that we're replacing, they've got traffic counts. I think the highest traffic count has like 28,000 vehicles a day, and that's a freeway ramp. The lowest is 30 vehicles a day down on a little bridge in Greene County. But you see them anywhere from 100, 200, 300 vehicles a day, 1,500, things like that. So, yes, they are the lower traffic amounts. So, obviously, the ones that have the most traffic on them, PennDOT is really going to focus on those, obviously. But these are the ones kind of, I guess, in their own category that, you know, are extremely important to the rural parts of the state that maybe are signed for, you know, weight limits and that. So trucks going to stores or, you know, to businesses aren't able to get there easily. Emergency vehicles have to take long ways around to avoid having to drive over these bridges. So there's safety and economic impacts to all of these that's an important thing to everybody who's living outside of the urban areas that do get a lot of the attention, I think, much of the time.
When it comes to some of the heavily traveled major bridges, there are the things that have made an indelible impression in the minds of all of us. You go back to 2007 and the I-35W bridge disaster, when that bridge collapsed in the Twin Cities and people died as a result of that. What are the things that we should be concerned about in terms of that kind of dangerous infrastructure, not only in Allegheny County, but throughout Pennsylvania?
Well, I think that was a very unique situation. That's not something that I've ever seen in my lifetime, but it is definitely a possibility out there, if the right circumstances are in place. That was a unique design in that bridge, I think, that, it led to that complete failure like that. The bridges that we're dealing with generally, aren't quite to that type of risk, I would say. There are some where, yes, there's pieces falling off and there's exposed rebar and things like that. But, the state is going through the regular inspection process and, the bridge in Minneapolis was already undergoing repair because they knew it needed some attention.
Right, which apparently was part of the problem or part of what
the additional weight of materials and trucks and things like that. Yeah, exactly. So this is the bridges that we're dealing with, the state would shut them down if they were unsafe, if they really felt that, these structures weren't safe to carry even the amount of traffic that they're getting. And so we're trying to avoid that getting to that point. We're trying to tackle these now so we don't have an emergency situation where you have have to run around for, and send people on really long detours. We're trying to fix the problem before it gets too severe and just avoid any disasters like that, certainly.
And when you talk about the mindset of construction, the people that built so many of these bridges, and Pittsburgh's a city of bridges all throughout Pennsylvania. You have rivers and things that people have to cross, and so these bridges were built. And what was the mindset years ago? We talked about that bridge that was built in 1880 that's still standing. It finally is needing to be replaced after what would it be, 135 years.
Yeah.
What were they thinking back then? I mean, what do we know? I mean, we can't know exactly, but what do we know about the mindset of the bridge builders of the late 19th century, the early 20th century? How long were they expecting those bridges to stand? Would they be telling us today, for crying out loud, of course these bridges aren't going to hold up. We didn't think they'd last 50 years.
Oh, no. You'd be surprised at just the quality that has been built into many of these. And there's some that we've run into that are overbuilt, really, for the type of crossing that it really is. There's one in Monroe County that we discovered the center pier. This is one of the rare ones where it's a double span bridge, and the center pier that was in the stream actually was on top of 5 8-foot in diameter concrete and steel reinforced caissons that went 45 feet into the ground.
Wow. And that's not going anywhere.
Yeah. That's like something you'd put in, the Colorado River, you would think. But here it is over Pocono Creek. And so, unfortunately, those caissons were right where we needed to do some pile driving for the new bridge. And so these things went 45 feet into the ground. So the amount of effort it would take to remove all of that, we decided instead to just drill into it. And three of our piles had to go into this caisson drilled 45 feet down. We just, discovered it was built that way to straddle a coal seam that, wouldn't have been a strong enough foundation to build a normal foundation on. So they knew what they were doing, definitely. They solved that problem, but it's created other problems for us as we're trying to replace that one. There are others, too, that, you look at the plan sheets as the way the thing was built, and then once you get in there and start doing demolition, there's another bridge here in Allegheny County where we found that the foundation went much deeper, the abutment rather, went much deeper into the ground than the plans indicated. So we had to do a lot more demolition, redesign of the shoring plan and all of that. So, you do run into things, like I said, when you're doing construction, that once you get below the ground surface, sometimes you get surprised and you find that, the engineers they had lots of materials and lots of equipment and lots of know-how to build these things. And they built some pretty substantial structures.
So the idea was they were built to last forever, basically.
Oh, yeah. Well, as long as they could. Yeah. I'm sure there was, you know, a time factor that they had in mind as well. But they certainly held up well for at least 50 years in most cases.
So has modern bridge building and the kind of replacement work that this public-private partnership is fostering, is it more efficient today?
Well, I think anytime you're dealing with computer-aided design and drafting and, you know, things like that, you learn shortcuts, you learn ways to do construction now that and, you know, use materials that are much more sturdy than they were in the past. You know, you have more precision, you know, with laser leveling and things like that than you had in the past. So, yes, the industry has definitely taken advantage of, you know, the improvements in science and technology that we've seen over the last 50 years. So the construction industry is no different than any other industry in taking advantage of those advances.
So what are you learning this year that can make things run even smoother next year?
Well, a lot of it is just getting a lot of the paperwork, the permitting, the public outreach, you know, holding public meetings, letting people know what's going to happen. A lot of it is just making sure that the folks around these projects know when they're coming and how to get around them, you know, how to adjust to the construction. I think that's probably our biggest challenge going forward, just because we have so many of them that are going to be under construction next year. We're going to be working in 58 counties in 2016 and have to get the word out to people in each of those counties. So, you know, we've got our hands full. We've got a real busy several months coming up here before construction even starts.
And, of course, the question that we always ask is how long will all this take? If you have over 500 bridges to replace, how many years will that take?
Well, the contract goes till the end of December 2017. That's when we're supposed to have everything finished. There's a couple that roll into early 2018 for, like, landscaping and things like that. But everything's supposed to be substantially complete by the end of 2017.
Well, we'll look forward to that. That is an amazing amount of work to do in that period of time. Really incredible.
It's quite a challenge. Yeah.
Well, it's a unique challenge and a unique public-private partnership. I've been talking with Dan Galvin. He's Public Information Manager for Plenary Walsh Keystone Partners, working to replace hundreds of bridges across the Commonwealth. Dan Galvin, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me in.
Coming up, we'll take an up-close and personal look at the new and improved ice rink at PPG Place. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.